San Francisco Bay Area. This is Grace and Truth with Dave Chu.
Hey guys, welcome to the Grace and Truth podcast. This is a ministry of the gospel-centered autism awareness movement. I'm a grateful gospel-centered disciple of Jesus Christ who struggles yet perseveres, and my name is Dave. Hope you guys are doing well. A few months ago, during my day off, I was cleaning my room in my condo in Dublin. Then I came across my old CD vault full of my old podcasts from my old blog and show, Chew On This. Just for the fun of it, I decided to listen to one of the podcasts from the show's first season, Resurrection Interview, originally recorded on May 15th, 2011. My friend Jeff Holton interviewed me at his church in Castro Valley, Resurrection Greek Orthodox Church. At that time, I was attending Castro Valley First Baptist Church. I don't go there anymore. I go to VCC now. It had been 6 years since that podcast was released, and I discovered that I didn't answer any of Jeff's questions during the course of the interview. I think it's safe to say that there was pride involved. I also didn't answer his students' questions either. Now, since going through CR, I've actually changed a bit since that interview was released. And after carefully praying through it and getting perspective and being patient about it, I have decided to re-answer these questions that Jeff and his students asked that I didn't answer. But before we get into that, let me read to you from John chapter 5, verses 1 through 17. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which had five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath, so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, the man said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is this man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" Now the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, as there was a crowd in the place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." Again, that was John chapter 5, verses 1 through 17 with the English Standard Version. Now, I'm going to share some clips from the Resurrection interview from the Chew On This podcast and re-answer them each. Let's listen to the first one.
Dave, we read this morning about this 38 years that this man spent waiting to be healed. Obviously frustrated, and I think we know he was frustrated because when Jesus asks him, "Do you want to be healed?" So she's more like the man who'd been there for 38 years. We have a majority here saying their first response would probably be yes. Now this guy was clearly frustrated because instead of saying yes, he says, "Nobody put me in the pool." Has the church gotten better in the past 2,000 years?
No, we've gotten worse.
How we help those who are suffering, how we help the handicapped, how we help those who are dealing with a variety of issues.
Now, just as a side note, one of Jeff's students had actually interjected, as you probably heard just now, "No, we've gotten worse." First off, whether or not she was serious about her answer, she is partially right. There has been some improvement when it comes to awareness, programs being started here in the United States, the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990, and so on, in the secular aspect of the world. However, in the church, there is still more to be done. Not a lot of churches are familiar with autism, regardless if you are a part of a denomination or non-denominational, like me. One of my biggest pet peeves is hearing people, especially in the role of leadership at the church, giving me a hard time and then tell me, "I don't know much about your difference." There are parachurch organizations that have been an encouragement for a number of churches, such as Johnny and Friends, that has eventually led church communities to start special needs ministries. My current church, Valley Community Church of Pleasanton, has a disability ministry that has been around for many years, and it has been an incredible impact on families of those who struggle with all types of differences, including autism. I also discovered in April that Calvary Monterey started a special needs ministry, and I commended Nate Holdridge, lead pastor, and staff for taking that step. Bottom line, there has been some improvement, but there's still more to be done. Now, let's take a listen to the next question.
What do you think we can do to improve? Well, I mean, what can some of us do to improve? I mean, if you look at our church, I don't think there's, I mean, with the exception of one or two people, somebody mentioned that we do have a child in the church who has autism, and I think we're open and receptive to her. She has outbursts once in a while.
But I love her.
Absolutely. I think we're used to them. We understand why.
And I like autistic people.
The one way you can improve is to be honest. They say that honesty is the best policy, and I couldn't agree more in the context of special needs. One of the most challenging parts for me is social cues. I don't read social cues like a neurotypical would. I wish I did at times, but I don't. The common argument that I get from this is that pretty much everyone doesn't read social cues. While I agree with that statement, there is another issue that we must remember. Sometimes we Aspies can perseverate. Or, in other words, get fixated. Now, admittedly, that is not a word that I like to use or hear. But since going through a ministry called Celebrate Recovery, I'm starting to see fixation in a different way. If I am being fixated on something and am relying on that for my well-being in place of my Adonai and Messiah, Jesus Christ, I am in actuality idolizing it. But if I am putting God first and thanking God for using certain circumstances to turn hurts into healing in my life, for example, God using one woman in high school to introduce me to my friend Jeff, God using another from college to introduce me to my best friend Daniel, using Daniel to introduce me to CR, using CR to bring me back where I am today, etc., etc., giving God the glory for it, that may indeed be fixating. But it is fixating on my Savior. In fact, being fixated on the Savior wouldn't even be the right words to use. Instead, the word worship is more appropriate. And hashtag solid truth. Now, the last question from one of Jeff's students.
Okay, that's an important message.
But why would your learning disability interfere with the love of God, no matter what?
I can tell you that during my time in high school and during my first year in Celebrate Recovery, I had already canceled Chew on this at that point, that one of the questions I had asked God when I was angry and depressed ranged from, why did you create me like this? Why don't I read social cues like neurotypicals? Do you really love me? How come people don't understand me? And sometimes I would be falling under these lies of, try to please others, or you'll never be as successful as fill in the blank. And this was the worst. Women don't like men with Asperger's. God has been bringing me back to him countless times, and his love never fails. He wouldn't have created me if he didn't have a reason for it. I just need to be the man that he has called me to be, not so that other people will love me, but because God loves me. I can care about people. I don't have to care about what people think about me. Notice the difference. One is selflessness and puts others before yourself and leads to good results. The other is people-pleasing and leads to depression. I need to trust God. He is in control of my life, and all I have to do is allow His Holy Spirit to work through me. And when I do, He will use me to bring the gospel to others, both by my example and by my words. So the question then isn't, why would your learning difference interfere with the love of God no matter what? Instead, it should be, how can I let God use me for His glory, even though I struggle with Asperger's? I believe the reasons I stated earlier is the answer. Thanks for listening, and if you'd like to hear more of these programs, please let me know. You can contact me at my website, chewmadenew.com. or you can call me at 510-516-CHEW. That's 510-516-2439. Or you can send me a message on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And do you know someone who's hurting and needs hope? Maybe you're listening to this program and need hope. Well, regardless, check out my testimony from Celebrate Recovery on YouTube. And if you were encouraged by it and learned something from it, please share it with others and use the hashtag Gospel-Centered Autism Awareness whenever you do so. You can find my testimony on YouTube as Celebrate Recovery Testimony Dave Chu, or you can go to chumadenew.com and click on the button, click here to watch my testimony. Until next time, peace out and God bless. Cincos!